Today's shiur in Sefer Temura, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Zayin on the base, in the middle of the Amid at the new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chomer b'Kachim b'Temura. Kachim have certain chomers over Temura, Chomer b'Temura b'Kachim, and Temura has certain chomers over Kachim. And the Mishnah explains itself. Chomer b'Kachim b'Temura. Kachim has a chomer over Temura. Shakachim oisin Temura. Something which is Kaidish obviously can create a Temura, the subject of our Masechta. They Temura is a Temura. As we learned in the previous Perek, something that has on it only a Kedusha's Temura cannot extend to make another Temura. Furthermore, Hatzibur v'Kshutvim Magdishim, the Tzibur and Potters have the ability to affect Hegdish, Avloy Mamirim. But as we learned in the previous parak, there is no Temura by a Korban HaShutfin or by a Korban HaTzibur. On Magdishim, furthermore, we can be Magdish Ubrim Ve'Avrim, we can be Magdish Uber of a itself, or Avrim, limbs of an animal themselves. But also, as we learned in the previous parak, Avloy Mamirim, Temura has to be done with a whole animal. It can't be done just with part of an animal. In our previous perek, when we discussed the halacha that we just mentioned, that we can't be magdish, we can't do temura on a behemoth of shutfin or behemoth tzibur, we discussed as to why. The question that we came up with was, is it because when we have partners in an animal, does the halacha look at the partners in the animals as not each one of them owning a whole animal? That means, if there are two people who are partners in an animal, the halacha looks at them as each one of them only owns part of the animal? Or is pshat that partners the halacha views as owning the whole animal? Just if we have two partners, for example, to an animal, both of us own the whole animal. And this is a fundamental question, because it speaks to how does the halacha look at partnership. And the place can say that it seems from our Mishnah that the way to look at partnership is as if each partner owns the whole animal. Because if the halacha views a partnership as if each one of us only owns part of the animal, so what does our Mishnah have to say? Two separate halachas, that there's no temura by partners, and there's no temura by uvrim and avrim. If partnership means that I only own part of the animal, that means I only own avrim of this animal. If I only own avrim of the animal, so obviously it's not subject to temura. The fact that the Mishnah had to list two separate disqualifications, the disqualification of partnership and the disqualification of Avrim, say to Mefarshim, is a raya that partnership doesn't mean I own part of the animal, partnership means I own the whole animal, just I don't own it by myself, I own it together with others. Furthermore, Mefarshim asks that if our Mishnah is mentioning the differences between Kachim and Temura, why didn't our Mishnah also mention that, as we learned, Kachim at times are Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Tumah, whereas a Temura is never Doicha Shabbos or Temura, or Shabbos or Tumah? So Mefarshim explained that the purpose of our Mishnah is to speak about when the Hegdish is Chal and when the Temura is Chal. The halacha that Hegdish is Doicha Shabbos or Tumah is only an extension of the fact that it's Hegdish, and that isn't the subject of our Mishnah. Furthermore, the Mefarshim asked that we've also learned that a question if an Akum can make a Temura. But certainly, as we learned, an Akum has the ability to make Hegdish. So why didn't our Mishnah mention that distinction between Hegdish and Temura? So Mefarshim replied that since we're going to learn that there's a question, that it's a question if an Akum makes Temura or not, so our Mishnah avoided an issue which is actually a machlokes, what the halacha is. But then the Mefarshim asked another important question. We've discussed in our shiur that the halacha is that hegdish is chal b'machshava. If one just had an intention to make something hegdish, it becomes hegdish. Whereas by tmura, that might not be the din. So the Mefarshim asked, why didn't our Mishnah mention this distinction between hegdish and tmura? And in fact, there are those that suggest the fact that our Mishnah doesn't mention such a distinction is a raya that just like the hegdish, it's chal b'machshava, so too by tmura, the halacha is that it's chal b'machshava. However, most achronim are of the opinion that tmura is not chal b'machshava, and the difference between hegdish and tmura, why hegdish is chal b'machshava and tmura is not chal b'machshava, is because hegdish is a mitzvah, and therefore I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, I'm accomplishing a mitzvah, and therefore by hegdish it's even chal b'machshava, whereas tmura is an aveira, and aveira cannot be chal b'machshava. The problem with this approach is, then why doesn't our Mishnah, and this is the approach of the Fika Yam, the problem with this approach is, so why doesn't our Mishnah mention this distinction? So Chaim Eiser says a different explanation why Tamura is not Chal B'machshava. He says because Tamura is in essence a form of redemption. And Hegdish has a special halacha that it could be Chal B'machshava, which doesn't apply to Chilul. But there's no reason to say that it's not Chal B'machshava, because there's no reason to ever think something is Chal B'machshava unless it's Hegdish, which is a special din in the Torah that teaches us that it is Chal. Continues the Mishnah. Chayma b'tshuma b'kachim. On the other hand, Tshumura has a chumra over kachim. Shikdusha Chal abamun kvur. The Tmura, as the Torah teaches us, is chal even on a bal mum kavua. Even if the animal is a bal mum, it's chal. Whereas kachim obviously are not chal when it's a bal mum. Then yotzim l'chulim, and a tmura that became hegdish when it's a bal mum, even after it's redeemed, it may not be used ligozes ula avoida. I can't use it for a regular purpose. Rabbi Yisrael, who died? Another chumra that truma has over tmura has over kachim. Also, shayig amazed the tmura. By tmura, the halacha is that shayig amazed are treated the same way. The last of shayig amazed in kudoshim. What are the cases of shayig amazed? We'll see in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. But as we've explained previously, the Rishonim, and it's actually Yerushalmi, that says that since we're learning now in the Mishnah, the halacha is that by Tmura, even Shagig has a din like Mezid, that's why the halacha is that by Tmura, we can't be Shoyal on the Tmura. Because as we discussed the other day, if somebody made a Tmura, and the repercussions of making a Tmura, as we're learning in our Masechta, are quite serious, so why shouldn't the halacha be that he should be able to be shoyal on the tmura if tmura is a form of hegdish, and therefore once he'll be shoyal on the tmura, all his problems will be solved. The second animal won't be hegdish, he won't be b'chayiv malchus. Says the Yerushalmi and the Rishonim that since our Mishnah says that by shoyig, that by tmura there's a chum of shoyig and mezid, similarly there won't be a din of she'ela on tmura. But what I did see that Achronim discussed, the Tzais discusses this issue, is that we know that whenever one makes a neder, or whenever one makes a verbal statement, there's halacha of Toich Kedei Dibur. That if he retracts the statement in the time of Toich Kedei Dibur, which is the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomairi, the halacha is that it's considered a valid retraction. And the question that the Achronim discuss is, what will be the halacha by Tmura? Will the halacha of Tarkedei Dibur Kedibur Dami apply by Tmura or not? The Tzais says it doesn't. Rashi Mishkop in his Seif Bishar Yosher has a discussion about this issue, and actually the issue boils down to a very fundamental understanding of what is the halacha of Torah Kedei Dibur say. Does the halacha of Torah Kedei Dibur say that the Torah HaKdoshah gave us, so to speak, a grace period? After one makes a statement, he has a grace period. It's not a very long grace period. It's the amount of time to say Torah Kedei Dibur where you could retract. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that Torah Kedei Dibur means that as long as you still Torah Kedei Dibur, it's as if you're still speaking. And therefore, it's not considered a completed statement until after Torah Kedei Dibur. What will be the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina will be exactly our discussion. If we're going to say that Torah Kedei Dibur represents, so to speak, a grace period, so it could be, just like we find that the Torah is being machmer by Temura, that also by Shogi conveys it, so too will be the halacha that there was no grace period given by Temura. On the other hand, it was saying that the pshat in Torah Kedei Dibur is, because that's still considered as if you're in the middle of your speaking, so then the halacha will be that the Torah perhaps does give us the Torah Kedei Dibur period even by Temura. Rabbi Elazar Omer, and the way most Rishonim explain, and this is the way it seems that the Gemara holds, the Rabbi's statement that he's about to make applies both to Kachim and to Temura. Rabbi Elazar Omer, HaKlaim V'Atreifa, an animal to climb or a treifa, V'Yoyt Z'Doifin, V'Tumtim V'Nadroiginus. Tumtim is where the simonim are covered, and therefore we don't know if it's a boy or it's a girl. And Androiginus is one that has the simonim both of a male and of a female, like the Doshim, they don't have the ability to become Hegdish or Lemedishim, and certainly they can't become a Temura to spread that Kedusha. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda taught us in our Mishnah that there's a special halacha by Temura, also by Shoyi Kamezim. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, what is the reason for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, Amakra, Yeh Kedush, the Torah adds the word Yeh Kedush, with Rabbi Shoyi Kamezim. Ask the Gemara, Heichidami Shogi Kamezit. Exactly what is the situation that Shogi is Kamezit? Amechiskiya, Ksava Shumata Lahamir. If somebody made the mistake in thinking that he has a lot to do with Temura, the Gabba Kachim, and by Kachim he made the mistake, Ksava Mutala Hagdish Balimum al Gabba Mizbeah. That one can even be Magdish Abamum. Gabba Temura, the halacha will be that even though he made a fundamental error, it's Kaddish. Gabi Kachim, but by Kachim, like Kaddish, the Kaddish won't be Chal. Lishlachrina, another version, is Gabi Temura, lucky. Somebody who made a Temura, even though it was made on a mistaken assumption that it's valid, that there's no Aveir involved, he will get Malkus. Gabi Kachim, on the other hand, Loi Lucky is a, he won't get Malkus. And there's a very big Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Lishna Achrina versus the first Lashon. Machlokes Rishonim. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that there's a fundamental difference between the first Lashon and the second Lashon. The first Lashon holds that by Hegdish that was made in error, not only will you not get Malkus, but the entire Hegdish is considered an invalid Hegdish. Whereas the second version, the second Lashon, will hold that the Hegdish is considered a valid Hegdish, just you don't get Malkus. And the Machloikis between these Pshatim will be in many areas of Halacha, where Omer Mutter, where somebody thinks what he's doing is permissible, how does the Halacha view that act? According to the first version, it's a completely meaningless act. It could be, according to the second Lashon, it will be considered a meaningful act to some degree. Another way of understanding, explaining what Shogi Kamezin means by Temura, Rish Lakish Rav Yochan Amri, Ksav Eloi Metemuras Oila, Vama Temuras Shlom. So the way it seems that Rashi learns is that somebody had in front of him two animals. One was a carbon Oila, and one was a carbon Shlom. And he intended that to make the Temura on the Oiler, let's say, and he ended up making it on the Shlomim, or vice versa. The Brisker Rav says that can't be pshat, because Brisker Rav says that is considered a totally meaningless act. If I meant to do something with one animal, and I ended up using a different animal, no one, even by Temura, could consider that a valid act. And that's why the Brisk Rav explains that we're only, the Gemara, the way to understand the Gemara is we're referring to one animal. And the person knew that this animal's Hegdish. And he intended to make a tumura on this animal. His mistake was that he thought that the animal was an Ayla when it actually was a Shlomim or vice versa. Lishnachrina, Kesavar, Loi Meshachar, Vamalovin. And again, some explain that's talking about two animals, and he had one is black and one is white. He intended to make the tumura on the black and he made it on the white or vice versa. Again, the Brisker Rav disagrees, and he says it's referring that there was only one animal. He thought this one animal was black when it actually was white, but Hegdisha won't be chal by tumura, it will be chal. Gabi tumura loki, gabi kotshe loy loki. Rabbi Yehudaimer, Rabbi Yechonamer, a different way of understanding shayi kemeza by tumura. He didn't intend to make a tumura. This is the way Rashi explains. He wanted to do a pidyon. And the way he wanted to do a redemption was by taking one animal for another animal. So even though his intention was to do chilul, but since he did it in the fashion that tumura is done, it's considered a tumura with all of the repercussions that come with making a tumura, even though his real intention was just to make it a redemption, a pidyon, not a tumura. And that's why, and by kachim, shenal b'mum, when he said the kachim that developed a mum, nechalim b'lai pidyon, to be eaten without even any redemption. By kachim d'alach will be loyloki, because he was a shaygig, gave a tumura. As we learned, the Mishnah is teaching us, Shagi Kamezit, he will get Malkus for such an event. Rav Sheshes Amar, that what is the case of Tumura B'Shagi? Bami Kanis Labayezeh, V'Agdish V'Amim B'Dati. A person said that when I come into my house, I will make an act of Tumura. V'Nichnas and indeed he went in, V'Hemeh V'Higdish Shloim B'Dati. So the way Rashi explains, there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim of this case, Rashi explains that he's a Baal Machshavas. And most of the first will explain that when he went into the house, he was preoccupied with other things, and when he said the Tamura, when he entered the house, he really wasn't paying attention to what he was saying. The halacha will be that it's still considered a valid tumura. There is another explanation of what Rashi means to say, a very interesting explanation, that the person made a statement that before he went into his house, that when I go into my house, I'm going to make a tumura act, and then before he actually entered his house, he became a halachic shaita. And we know that in halacha, the act of a shayta is meaningless. Still here, since when he made the original statement, he was not yet a shayta, it will be considered a valid act of tumura. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says, if when he went into his house, especially according to the second explanation we just gave, that he was a shayta, or even if we got out the first explanation, he completely was not aware of what he was doing, it's not halachically considered a meaningful act. Therefore, Tosfos explains what the chiddush here is that the person made the following statement. I'm making a tumura, but it should not, he makes a stipulation that it should not actually be valid until he enters the house. And when he enters the house, which is when the tumura will become valid, he doesn't remember or doesn't pay attention to the tanai. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that when the stipulation is being fulfilled, even though there's absolutely no das when that stipulation is being fulfilled, it's still considered a valid act of tumura. The Ravid has another way of explaining the Gemara. The Ravid says that the person says, I'm going to make this animal into a tumura when I enter this house. And then he didn't enter that house, he entered another house. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that still that's considered a valid act of truma. Gabba tumura, that this will all be considered valid acts of tumura, and I'll get even malchus, gabba kotshim loy loki. And again, as we said at the beginning, the Shita takes the approach that our Gemara has given a number of examples of what is considered Shaitan V'mezin by Tmura versus Kachim, but there isn't necessarily a machlokes between these different explanations. The Gemara is just giving a number of examples. The Rambam and other Rishonim seem to learn that there's actually a machlokes here, because the question that's here is that in some of these cases of Kachim, the halacha will be that it's considered kachim, just there is no malchus. And in other situations, it would not be hegdish at all. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar Omer, haklaim a treifa. Rav Elazar made the statement that klaim a treifa don't become kodesh and don't have the ability to spread the kedusha further. Amishmu, like kachim tmura, they don't have the ability to become tmura, v'la magdishim, and they're not kodesh to the degree to make tmura further. And as I said, Rashi and most Rishonim are of the opinion that the halacha that's being stated in our Mishnah is not only regarding Tmura, it's also regarding Hegdish, that these animals cannot become Hegdish, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvah. Tanya, so says the Braisa, Ramei asked the question, V'chim Yachar, Shein Kedoshim, if these animals don't have the ability to become Kedosh, so if they don't become Kedosh, Mechem Hegdishim, of course they can't spread and extend to make a Tmura. They're not Kodesh in the first place. Ella, so he says, where must be the situation Rav Elazar is referring to? Yatamoitza, Ella the Magdish Behemah Vakach Netrufa. Where the first thing was first Magdish, the animal, and then it became Treif. So that's why the Hegdish is Chal. Similarly, the Magdish Vlad, first he was Magdish the Vlad, and after he was Magdish the Vlad, then the Yatza Darf Daif, and only afterwards it was born with Caesarian. So that's why they have the ability to become Kodesh. The Ravid points out that obviously our Gemara is following the opinion that Vladis can become Kodesh already B'mei Iman. Because if we're going to follow, which is a sugi that we've learned and will learn, that the Vladis of Kachim can only become Hegdish after they're born, so now this terence that the Gemara just suggested, a Magdish Vladim, you were Magdish to Vlad, and therefore at that point they were able to become Hegdish, and they only came out with a Caesarean birth later, but if they don't become Kodesh in the mother's womb, if they can't become Kodesh in the mother's womb, this terence wouldn't make sense. Ask the Gemara. So we've understood how Rabbi Elazar could understand the case of Treifa, or the case of Yoytzer Doifin, to become Kodesh. But ask the Gemara, what about Kloim, Vetumtum, and Androgynous? How do they become Kodesh? Says the Gemara, Iat Temoitza, Elva Vlad Kodeshim. It must be following, it must be that the Vlad Kodeshim. And the way that Rishonim explained the Gemara, an animal is not considered a Tumtum or an Androgynous, and certainly not a Treifa, until they're actually born. And therefore, while they're in their mother's womb, they're still considered, they're able to have Hegdish on them because they're not yet a Tumtum and a Droginus. Here too, many Mepharshim say that our Gemara is following the opinion that the Vlad of Hegdish can become Hegdish B'mei Iman. And in fact, they take it a step further. They say, what does it mean that a Vlad of Hegdish becomes Hegdish B'mei Iman? It's not their own independent Kedusha. They're actually viewed as an extension of the mother's Hegdish. But if we hold that Vladis Kachim only become Hegdish when they are born, so that this Teretz wouldn't work. The Chazanish disagrees, because the Chazanish says if that is indeed the way to understand this Gemara, then the Gemara should have made this distinction that this Teretz is only understandable according to the man that holds Vladis Kachim B'mei Iman Kachim. The fact that the Gemara doesn't make this distinction, says the Chazanish, seems to be that it could work according to all opinions. Furthermore, says the Gemara, our Mishnah would only be understandable, a Levi de Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Vladis Tmura. Because the way we're explaining the Mishnah now, it's referring to Vladis Kachim. And Vladis Kachim, we learned in the previous parak, is actually Machloikus of the Chachomim and the Tanakama if they affect the Tmura. If we're explaining our Mishnah, that it's teaching us that Ein Magdishim or could be subject to Tmura, it must be going according to Mandam of Yehuda that says Vlodis Kachin are able to make Tmura. Amra Papa, continues the Gemara, my Tama Reb Elazar, how do we understand Reb Elazar that these animals that have in them these inherent deficiencies yet are and therefore can't be Kodesh and can't spread Kedusha? He compares them to a behemoth tameya. Ma behemoth tameya like Kraver. Just like we know that a non-kosher animal is excluded from Hilchos Kodeshim, like Naxla Kodesh Aguf, Av Hanach the Lekarvi, since these animals cannot be put on the Mizbeach, therefore, like Naxla Kedusha Aguf. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa L'Rava, V'rei Balmom, let's understand that a Balmom, the Lekariv, that it's not put on the Mizbeach, the Naxla Kedusha Aguf, and yet Balmom can have Kedusha Aguf. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Balmom Karban Mina. Maybe this specific animal can't be brought, but other animals of this type can be brought. So before we go further, the Mefarshim explain that what is the Pshat in Reb Elazar. So the Gemara is saying that these types of animals, a Yotzidoifin, a Klayim, an Androgynous, are all compared to Behemoth Tameya. And the way the Rishonim explain, because a Behemoth Tameya is something that everybody knows is not kosher, so too everybody is aware that these animals are inherently excluded from the Mizbeah. And everybody knows that these animals have these deficiencies, because when such an animal is born, people are aware of the birth of this abnormal situation. So I saw the Paiskim use this concept that not that the Gemara is saying that people knowing about something, even though they don't see it, it's considered that as if it's the Pharesia, is relevant in areas of halacha. We know in halacha there is a difference between something done in public or something not done in public. And the Paiskim can discuss what is the definition of public. Is the definition of public that people will see the act, or is the definition of public that people are aware of the act? From our Gemara, not necessarily that everybody see that the animal was born with these deficiencies. They're just aware of these deficiencies. It's a raya that just being aware of something is considered pharesia. There's actually a raya from Purim as well, because the Gemara discusses in Masechet Megillah, Achashverosh and Esther having relations, what that considered a pharesia. Now clearly they didn't do it publicly. Just the fact that everybody knew that they were married maybe considered it a pharesia. So the Gemara say, the fact that a Balmum is part of a family that could be put on the Mizbeach, that's why it's not that's why it could have Kedushas Aguf. Ask the Marv, that's the way you're learning, Yoko Trefa Namika Karbamina. Maybe this particular animal is a Trefa, but a Trefa is part of a family of animals that can be put on the Mizbeach. Elam Rava. So Rava says, the Behemoth Tameya, Ma Behemoth Tameya Psul Aguf, a Behemoth Tameya has a physical disqualification, Afkop Psul Aguf, anything that has a physical disqualification cannot become Kodesh, cannot have Tamura, Lefuki Balmum, the Psuch Saraninu. So the way the Mefarshim explain the difference between a Balmum, the Gemara's attempt to differentiate between a Balmum and a Treif is as follows. A Treif has a defect, and a Balmum has a defect. But the difference between the defect of a Treif and a Balmum is the defect of a Balmum is in the aver, is in the particular limb or organ that has the defect. But it doesn't influence the rest of the body of the animal. Whereas the trefa of an animal that's trefa, that defect affects the entire animal. Omler v'akvarava v'le seruv v'kolks of a parasha. When the Torah speaks about balimum, the Torah speaks about a seruv v'kolk, which means that one limb is larger or has unsplit hooves. That they too are psul aguf nenu. And the way we're learning it's very gishmak, because they affect the entire animal, not just the limb or the organ that's being discussed. Elam Rava, ki behemoth tameya. Ma behemoth tameya, the lek of amina. There is no behemoth tameya that can be put on the Mizbeach. af kol delek lamina, so to any animal that that type of animal could not be put on the mizbeach can't affect tamura. Lefuki b'amum delek lamina, there are other animals. Maybe this particular animal can't be put on, but other animals can. My amrit treif ik lamina. So what are you going to argue? The treifa the same. Maybe this specific animal is a treifa, and because this specific animal is a treifa, it can't be put on the mizbeach, but there are other animals in this family that can. Says the Gemara, no. There's a very big difference between a treifa and a bamum. Lo idami lo bamum. Behema tamei asur b'cheilu. A behema tamei can never be eaten. So too, a treifa is a sur b'cheilu. It may not be eaten. Whereas l'fuki bamum, the muta b'cheilu. Amishmu, hamagdish is a treifa. If somebody is magdish a treifa, tsricha mum kavur liftis alav. It has to obtain a new mum in order to be able to redeem it. So the way most Rishayim learn the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is that Shmuel is explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama that disagrees with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer just learned a moment ago that Kedusha cannot be on a treifa. Shmuel is going to learn that the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim hold that Kedusha can be on a treifa. And now he's telling us a step further, that when it becomes Kaddish, you have to be pointed, it has to get a mum. Shmanino, ask the Gemara, wouldn't this be a ride that pointed as a Kaddishim, l'chila l'klovim? That you could take it, that you could be pointed, and not the only thing we could do with it is give it to dogs to eat. Because it's a tray for animal. And we know the Gemara is asking that throughout Shas, the halach is, ain't poidim as a kotchim, lachilim l'klovim. We may not be poid a kotchim, where the only point that I could do with it is give it to dogs to eat. And as the Or Sameach points out, our Gemara is saying even deeper. Because our Gemara is saying that even though when I was magdish the animal, it was already a treifa, and therefore, maybe there would be different. Still the Gemara is saying that there's a halacha of ein magdishim, ein poidim sakotshim, lachilam with klovim under any circumstances. Ela ema, oisa kedusha, it becomes kadosh. But since I can't do anything with it, what happens with it is, Thomas, it's left to die. And as the Rishonim explained, what's done with it is, it's put into the keeper, and it's left to die there by itself. The Rabbi Shua, on the other hand, holds, and El Kamagish Eitzel Avon Bavad. Since it has this inherent defect, it's a treifa, it's considered like the Magish Eitzel Avon, the Magish something like that can't have a Kedusha Sagos. And the way the most Mepharshim explained the Machloikis of Shmuel and Rabbi Shua is that there's a concept, if migud a nachsala kedusha stomim, nachsala kedusha saguf, if somebody gets kedusha domim, can it spread kedusha saguf? The machlokes of Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon is exactly that machlokes. Shmuel holds that yes, that it could spread and get kedusha haguf as well, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Tanan, as the Mar, we learned in the Mishnah, kol hakotchim shenasa treifa, all kotchim that became treifa, ain't poison on some. May not be niftal if you ain't poison a kotch and lachil maklovin. Because the only thing we could do with it is feed it to the dogs. And that isn't an acceptable way of being poison a kotch. But what do we see from this Mishnah? Asked the Gemara. Tamish and Asun. Only because they were originally not treif does this halacha apply. If they were treif from the beginning, poison on some. But according to Shmuel, we just said, that if somebody was Magdish or Trefa, the halach is Tomus. So how will Shmuel explain that Mishnah? Answer the Gemara. Dama hai tana sovar, kol hech da loy chazi la gufa, la nasla kedusha sagos. And the way we explain the Gemara, it's very geschmack. The entire basis of Shmuel's opinion is that he's following the Madama, that if has kedusha sadomim, it spreads to kedusha sagos. But if you don't hold of that concept, that Shmuel will agree that it doesn't have a Kedusha Saguf, and therefore, the halacha is that you can be poigent. Koshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a ride from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Lazar, I'm a client by Yotze Doifim, the trait for tont of androgynous, like the doshim v'lo magdisha. Bamashmu, like the doshim b'tmura, they can't get kedushas tmura. V'lo magdisha last tmura, they can't spread. The Tanya, and we learned in the Brisa, in trying to understand Rabbi Loz's shita, amrameya v'chim achashen kedushim. If they don't have kedusha, mechem magdishim. How could they spread kedusha? How could they even be a havamina that they could spread kedusha? Ella, the only way we were able to explain, the Gemara said a number of lines ago, where you first magdish it, and only became treif afterwards. And Rav Loz is teaching us that that's where it doesn't spread to tmura. But what is the deek in our Mishnah? Only because it became a treifa after you were magdish it. Ha ha'is the treifa mikara, if it was treif from the beginning, well, not like kedusha saguf. It will never have a Kedusha Seguf. But according to Shmuel, we just said it does have a Kedusha Seguf, up to the degree that Shmuel said that the halacha should be Thomas, that it should be left to die because of that Kedusha Seguf. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Shmuel, Dima Hanach Tami, Nami Kalech, Dima Yilachazi Lagufa, Lai Natsla Kedusha Seguf. Shmuel is going to say, yes, Rabbi Elazar will not, my opinion cannot be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Why can my opinion not be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? Back to what we said a moment ago. Because I hold that since it had a Kedusha Stomim, it spreads to have a Kedusha Saguf. Says Shmuel, and that's what I say is the opinion of the Chachamim. Whereas, says Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar is going to be disagreeing with the Chachamim. And part of Rabbi Elazar's disagreement with the Chachamim is that he doesn't subscribe to the concept that if it gets Kedusha Sadamin, it spreads to Kedusha Saguf. Actually, Rabbi Elazar is going to hold that we don't follow such a concept. Rabbi Yishia said in our Mishnah that if you're magdish in our Gemara, that if you magdish something that can't have in it the Kedusha, the example we've been learning is Treifa, it's Elok Magdish Eitzim V'Avon Bavad. It's a meaningless Hagdish. So it's a very interesting discussion of the Paiskim. How do we understand what Rav Oishi is saying? How far to take Rav Oishi's statement? Because they want to discuss, is the halacha, when I know that something will not be able to be done properly, does that have an influence on the halacha? What halacha am I referring to? We know that unfortunately, Bizman Azeh, even though we certainly have a chiyuv on produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael to take trumas and maestris, the halacha is that we don't give it to a kohen. We don't know who the kohen is, and we don't give it to the kohen. And therefore, the Paiskim discuss, should a bracha be made when truma and maestris is taken, bezman hazeh, given that we know that we won't be able to give, that we won't be fulfilling the mitzvah in its shleimus, because I won't be giving it to a kohen. And in fact, I saw the Chidah in a Sefer Birkei Yosef has a discussion that perhaps a bracha should not be made, and that there was a minig for this very reason that a bracha should not be made. He also goes into a discussion that there may be another reason why a bracha, when taking Truma Maisav as Manazeh, should not be made, because we're not, he says, we're not 100% certain about our calendar, and therefore we're not 100% certain which is the Shemitah year. And in the Shemitah year, we know there's no chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros. However, many Paiskim disagree, and they say that a bracha should be recited when Trumas and Maestros are separated even as Man Azeh. And I saw two explanations as to why. One explanation is that actually in Truma there are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of Afrosha, and there's another mitzvah of Nesina. So yes, as we said a moment ago, unfortunately, Bezman Hazeh, we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina. But just because we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina, we still can fulfill the mitzvah of Afrosha. And the bracha we make is on the mitzvah of the Afrosha. The problem with that pshat is that there are many poskim that hold that you don't make a bracha on something which only takes away Isser. And the Afrosha is just taking away the Issa Tevo, and therefore should not be able to make a bracha. So I therefore saw another interesting pshat, where Shevet Alevi says, he says that Bezman Hazeh, the Shleimus of the Mitzvah, The mitzvah is considered completely done when you just do that frasha. It's not that we're doing as much as we can, that we recognize we're not doing the entire mitzvah. We're just doing as much as we can. He's saying, in a time when we don't have kahanim, or we don't have the ability to give truma ma'aseh to kahanim, the entire mitzvah is fulfilled just with the afrasha, and therefore certainly a bracha may be made. Hanaloch yesh b'kabanos, hanaloch yesh b'kabanos, hanaloch yesh b'kabanos. Says the Mishnah, elu kapshin, shavu the same, v'tmur the same, ki yetzvam. In the following situations, the vlad and the tmura have the din as the original kardim. Vlad shlamim, the offspring of shlamim, the tmurasim, the tmura of shlamim. Vladam, vlad vladam, atzav kala oirim, for all generations, harayim shlamim, have the din of shlamim. Tunim smicha v'nesachim, they have to have smicha and nesachim, as is the halacha by kardim shlamim, tnufas chaz v'shayim. As the Mepharshim explained, since we know that the halacha is that a shlamin has to have tchaz v'shayik, smich v'nesachim, but we would think that that's only when I was specifically magdish an animal. Here we weren't magdish animal. Here the animal became kadosh by itself, because of Vlad of Tamura, maybe these halachas ought not to apply. Mashma on the Mishnah, that the halachas do apply. There's also an interesting shaila that the Mepharshim discuss. Let's say somebody has on himself more than one obligation to bring a carbon shlamim. And now he has a Vlad shlamim, or Tamura shlamim, that our Mishnah clearly teaches us should be brought as a carbon. The question that they discuss is, can he fulfill his obligation with these kabanas, with these animals? Or since these animals, as our Mishnah tells us, must be brought as a carbon no matter what, he cannot fulfill an independent obligation by bringing these kabanas. Furthermore, Rav Nachman Zemba points out that what is the case of a Vlad Shlomen? The Vlad Shlomen means that the mother was a carbon shlamim, but the father was chulin. And the question is, so why is this considered kodesh? Shouldn't it be considered zevezeh goyrim? And that the halacha is that zevezeh goyrim, we say we're always more lenient. Says Rav Nachum Zemba, since the mother is hegdish, and hegdish doesn't become bottle, we don't apply here the concept of zevezeh goyrim. But then I saw a very interesting question. We are discussing in our Mishnah and our Gemara Mitzvah that the Tamura of a Shlamim is brought as a carbon. The question is, how could such an animal be brought as a carbon? Why is it not considered a mitzvah bo ba'aveira? Tamura, as we learned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, is an aveira. So this animal that became Kaddish through being a Tamura should be considered a mitzvah bo ba'aveira and certainly should not be put on the Mizbeah. So what teretz I saw comes back to a very essential question that we've been discussing in Amasekhta, how to understand Tamura. Because in Amasekhta we've been discussing, is the Aveira of Tamura that you want to take off the Kedusha from the first animal, or the Aveira of Tamura that you wanted to make the second animal Kodesh? Clearly, explained the Mepharshim, that the Aveira of Tamura is that you wanted to make the first animal not Kodesh. Since you want to make the first animal not kaddish, that has no effect on the second animal, and therefore that second animal could be used as a carbon. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is, and again, it speaks to the heart of Hilchus Tamura, a sort of pshat from Rebbe Fall Shmulevitz. He says, let's understand what happens by Tamura. I wanted to make the second animal kaddish, and take away the kedusha from the first animal. What I did, I didn't accomplish. Because the first animal, as we learned from the beginning of Masechta, remains Kaddish. The second animal also is Kaddish. Why? So he says it's not because of an Aveira. It's because of a Knas. The Torah gives us a fine that both animals will be Kaddish. There's a difference, he says, between the concept of Mitzvah Habah B'Aveira and Mitzvah Habah B'Knas. This is a Mitzvah Habah B'Knas there is no such a concept in halacha, and therefore such an animal can be used on the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, given the town of Vladan, Vlad Vladan, since our Mishnah taught about the Vladan, and the Vlad Vladan, at Saif Kala Olam Lamali, and there's a machlekes in the Mefarshim how to understand what is the focus of the Gemara's question. Some explain that if the Mishnah is going to say at Saif Kala Olam, why do you have to say Vladan and Vlad Vladan? They're all included. Or others say not Vladan, Vlad Vladan, and not necessarily that have to add the words Saif Kala Olam. Answers the Gemara, Tana dan shana le Rav Elazar da Amar. The Tana of our Mishnah heard the opinion of Rav Elazar, who said, Vlad Shlomim la Yikrav Shlomim, that the Vlad of Shlomim should not be brought as Shlomim. And we're going to learn the reason is because he's concerned that people are going to raise generations of Vlad Shlomim that could come to all sorts of problems. Vlomim Tana dan, that's what our Tana said, Lomim by Vladim la Medina. Certainly on the Vladim, do I not agree with you, Rabbi Lezer? I don't even agree to you with future generations either. Ask the Gemara, from where do we indeed know that the halach is by Vladon that the Vlad Shlom is considered kachim? The Tana Rabbanan, Zohar, the rabbis is a Vlad. The Torah says, Vim Zavach Shlom Kabane in an Abakal Makrif, in Zohar in the Keva, Tamim Yakuvenu Lefnei Hashem. Now, the Torah could have just said he should bring cattle. Why did the Torah have to specify Zohar and the Keva? Zohar, the rabbis is a Vlad. V'loi Dinhu. Ask the Gemara, but why do I need a pasuk? Umat Tamura, she'en Gedule Hegdish. If Tamura, which is not Gedule Hegdish, the halacha is Kreva, it's put on the Mizbeach. Vlad, she'gedule Hegdish, which emanates from the mother, that should be put on the Mizbeach. So Gemara, you can't make that argument. Because Mala Tamura, she came to Hegis Bekala Kachim. Tamura applies by all types of Kachim. Time of the Vlad. Whereas when we speak about the Vlad, Shayanayi Bekala Kachim, because most Kachim can only come from males, not from females. And therefore, Hoyle Be'enayi Bekala Kachim, I would think, Ein Akarif. Since it doesn't apply by all types of kachim, maybe it should not be put on the mizbeach either. Tamaloyim is zachar. That's what the Torah teaches us. The word zachar, the rabbi says Vlad, that the Vlad of Shlomim is put on the mizbeach. Nekeva, the word nekeva comes to teach us the rabbi says tamura, that the tamura is also put on the mizbeach. Continues the brisa, only ela tamuras tamimim or vlad tamimim. I would only know that this halacha applies by the tamura of a healthy animal, or the vlad of a healthy animal. How do we know that vlad balimumim, or tamuras balimumim, minayin, that the same halacha applies, that they're put on the mizbeach? Tamalim im zachar, l'rabis vlad balimumim, im nekema, l'rabis tamuras balimumim. Amalei rasafu labaya veikachano. Maybe I should say that the pasuk of zachar comes to teach us the din of Tamur Balamumim, and the Keva comes to teach us the din of Vlad Balamumim. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Mamakim Shnitz Abra Tamur Tamimim, Mistabra Tamur Balamumim. The same place that I use to teach the halach of Tamura of a healthy animal, I use to teach Tamura of a Balamum, and so too regarding the Vlad. Amalei, of course, my question wasn't only on the second limud. And not kula krokamina. My question was on the essential limud. Ema, instead of saying Zohar is coming to teach us Vlad, and the cave is coming to teach us Tamura, why don't we say just the opposite? That Zohar is coming to teach us Tamura, and the cave is coming to teach us Vlad. Answers the Gemara. Amalei Vlad, Lashon Zohar Mayashma. Vlad is lost in Zohar, and therefore we use the Zohar to teach us Vlad. Tamura is a lost in the Keva, and that's why we use the Keva to teach us the halacha of a Tamura. Says the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa. So now we're saying that the Vlad of a Kavan Shlomo that was about Mum is Kodesh. Regarding what halacha? Amish Shmuli Karev, it's actually put on the Mizbeach, the Libid Rav Elazar, we're following the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, that holds that such an animal could be put, that he would hold that such an animal could be put on the Mizbeach. The Matatema, Kikon Rebbe Lazar Oila, when does Rebbe Lazar say that the offspring of an Oila that's a Baal Mum can be brought as a Baal Oila? Is only, in other words, what happened was somebody made a Nekeva into an Oila. And we know that a Nekeva cannot be brought as a Nekeva cannot be brought as an Oila. Says Rebbe Lazar, that if this Nekeva that I designated as an Oila has a baby, that baby is brought as a carbon Oila. So the Gemara is saying, just like Rebbe Lazar said, that if I designated a Nekeva as an Oila, that it itself can't be brought, its child can be brought, so too will be the halacha if I designated a Shlomim Baal Mum, that it itself can't be a Shlomim, its Vlad can be. It says the Gemara, maybe Rebbe Lazar said about Oila, Dikashem Oila Lima. Yes, a Nekeva Behema should not be brought as an Oila, but an Oila can be brought from a bird, and as we learned many times, a bird can be brought, there is no difference between male or female. Ain't Thomas Vazakras Boifus. Avahani Velotus Loit Kravi. But the child of a Shlom that's a Baal Mum, since a Shlom that's a Baal Mum can never be brought, its child maybe can never be brought either. Kamash Malon, that's why the Brisa teaches us that the Vlad of a Shlomim can actually be brought as a carbon. Kibar Padama, Luria, that the vlad of a shlomim baal mum is not actually brought on the mizbeach; it's left to graze, and when it becomes baal mum, it's sold, and with the proceeds we bring the carbon, and therefore v'aliba de re'akol, we're not locked in to saying that it follows the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. If manami rava amal likariv, that the vlad of a shlomim that's a baal mum is actually put on the mizbeach, and we're going to have to be following the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Rapap amal Luria, that all that's done with this Vlad Shlomim is that's left to graze, and therefore we're not locked into saying that's following the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. It's a leave of the Divrei HaKol. Everybody could agree with this psak.